If I were to ask you what your favorite parable is, I would be willing to bet a fairly significant amount of money that you would not say what you just heard. The parables that we just heard from Mark's Gospel are, they're almost mini parables, and they're really not what I would call the best known. They're certainly not like the parable rock stars, right? Most of us, if we were going to name our favorite parable, it would be the prodigal son, or the parable of the sower, or maybe the lost sheep, right? Those are kind of the ones that we think of first, right? But these are two parables that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Mark that still have some value for us today, even though we don't tend to know them really well. Parable, I think it's helpful for us to remember, comes from two Greek words that I will not repeat for you right now because I will get them wrong. So it's better just not to do it at all. But the two words together tell us that what a parable really does is it puts two things side by side. So it creates, in some ways, a comparison. And in the case of our gospel parables, most of them start with something like the kingdom of God is like, and then tells a story. So it kind of places these two things next to one another so that we get a sense of some aspect of the kingdom of God. I think it's also helpful to remember that there is no one parable that has done all of the work of telling us exactly what the kingdom of God is like, because there is no one. You'd have to say the kingdom of God is like the kingdom of God. There is no earthly comparison that would do it quite justice. So there's lots of parables, and some of them teach us about the prodigal son, we would say, teach us about generosity in the face of kind of undeserving. And, you know, the Good Samaritan would be about the importance of looking after one another, and the lost sheep about the fact that God won't give up, right? And about how important we are to God. So each parable kind of uncovers something for us about what this kingdom of God is like. Some translations, instead of saying the kingdom of God, translate it as the reign of God, R-E-I-G-N, not rain, but the reign of God, because kingdom in English does not translate with the same kind of activity. Kingdom in English isn't an active word the way it is in the original language. So the reign of God perhaps gives us a better image of something that is active and ongoing, as opposed to a kingdom, which we might think of as a spot or a place, or perhaps stationary. And that's not the intent of the word kingdom in the Gospels. So for these lesser known parables, we begin with a parable that says the kingdom of God is like a seed that is sown, and you check on it a whole bunch, but really you do nothing, and it grows, and then at some point it's ready and it's harvested. And this week I have equally loved and less loved this parable, for reasons that I will get into in a minute. But I think it's really good for us to hear the kingdom of God. It's not It's not all up to us. It's going to happen. It does happen. It is happening, and it will continue to happen. No matter what I do, no matter what you do, the kingdom of God is. And it is active, and it is growing, and we don't really have that much control over it. So I think that in some way that's really good for us to hear. And on the other side, it may be less helpful for us to hear because perhaps, none of us of course, but somebody might think that they just don't have to do anything then. And I would hate, as a pastor and as a preacher, to preach in such a way that my people didn't feel like they had a job to do at the end of it. So the parable, I think, is kind of two sides of a coin for me. One, it's incredibly heartening to know that this is going to happen whether I'm participating in it or not. But then on the other side, I'm very leery of us getting a notion that we don't have to do the work. The second parable says that the reign of God is like a mustard seed, that is this small little seed, and once it is sown, grows into this great big bush that birds can find their home in. I learned this week that something is lost for us in the comparison of mustard, not so much the seed, but the bush itself. The people who would have been listening to Jesus may very well have kind of snickered at this comparison because for them, the mustard bush is kind of like the weed that grows on the side of the road. Nobody really plants it on purpose. It grows in really inhospitable environments, and once it starts growing, it's really hard to get it to stop. So in terms of comparing that to the kingdom of God, I think it does a great job. But really, for those people, it was basically a weed, right? And so to say the kingdom of God is like a big, tenacious weed, there is something that you can understand that we miss of the humor, the subversiveness about that. So I tried my hand at that this week because a colleague of mine, we have an ELCIC clergy Facebook group, and a colleague of mine this week challenged us to write our own parable for our time and place. So if these were the parables of that Jesus spoke, what would be a parable that we could share today? So I tried my hand at it. So I said that the kingdom of God is like a dandelion. It is a ray of sunshine after a dark and dreary winter. It grows in the most inhospitable place, and the roots go deep. And if you could begin to try to tackle the root, you can never manage the seeds. Because while you're digging out the root, the seeds fly everywhere, right? So I said that the kingdom of God is beautiful and tenacious and something else that I can't remember. I'm sure it was very poetic. And then my colleague commented back and pointed out also that the dandelion is also food for the bees and the small animals in the springtime that have been hungry for a long time. And then I remembered it's also food for us. We can eat dandelions too. A different colleague of mine once commented, he posed the question, what could be done with all of the money that people spend every year on trying to get dandelions out of their lawns? And I have to be honest, I've never really looked at a dandelion the same way. Because whoever named it a weed, weeds really just seem to be the most tenacious plants, I think. And whoever named it a weed did a great disservice to us, because we have then, from thence upon, spent millions of dollars trying to get rid of these dandelions. And I think it's true. What would we do with all that money? Instead of going out to buy your bucket of Roundup every spring, what would happen if everybody took that $20 and gave it to somebody in need? Just a question. I'll leave that there. So I was tackling these parables this week, trying to figure out a word to speak. And all at the same time, I have been deeply grieved and very, very much struggling with the news cycle this week. As a parent, I think that I react in a very visceral way to news reports and pictures and stories of children being ripped away from their parents, and it causes a fury inside of me that I can't quite name. And if that isn't bad enough, then some people who have some power used the book that I love so dearly, and they used that to justify doing these inhumanely atrocious things to moms and dads and babies. And I felt nothing short of rage. So I understand, and I need to say this, I understand that this is happening in the United States, that it's not in Canada, and that the people who quoted the Bible are Americans trying to speak to Americans. But I'm also really aware that when it comes to cultural stuff and social media and all that kind of stuff, you know, territorial boundaries, they kind of fade away a little bit, right? Cultural shifts in general. And so even though this may, we may have the desire to kind of paint this as an American problem, I think that we cannot. And we need to, as people of Christ, as followers of Jesus, we need to speak up. When somebody uses our book, the words that we follow, and they use them to cause harm to other people, if we're not going to stand up and say that's not okay, then we might as well pack it up and go home. We have to, no matter where we are located in the world, stand up and speak with as loud as a voice as we can to say, no, that is not what my book says. That is not okay. So that, I think, is why I was feeling such dissonance with that first parable that says, the kingdom of God is just going to happen, because I really, really, really need us to not be bystanders right now. We need to not be bystanders. We need to be active in the work that we do to bring about the kingdom of God and the reign of God. But then the second parable, I think, if a mustard bush is the most tenacious weed you can find, if it's the dandelion, whatever is the bane of your existence in your garden, That is the tenacity that I want you to find within yourself in speaking and living out your faith in the world. Be the weed. Be that. Every single week, we have the almost, I've often thought that the words of the Lord's Prayer, when you really study them, that we have some kind of audacity to pray these words out loud every week. Some of us pray it every day. And we say, Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And we don't just mean, God, you do all the work. But if we have the notion to pray those words, then we'd better be willing to do the work to back them up. So if we're going to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, then we, when we stand up and we walk out of here, we need to do that work. We need to go out into the world to show people and to tell people with our voices, with our actions, with our very lives, that this book, that Jesus, that this stuff that we are, this book is not meant to harm people. But this book, Jesus, is good news for the poor, for the suffering, for the refugee, for all of us. So my deepest and most heartfelt prayer this week and every day is that we would be the living evidence in every place, in every relationship, in every encounter, that we would be the signs that the Bible and that Jesus is good news for the world. Jesus brings good news for the poor, so that the world might see that the Bible cannot and must not be used to harm, because it is too good. Be the good news. Use your voice to speak for those who have no voice. And for heaven's sakes, be as tenacious about that as you can be. Amen.